Letters from a Glass House is a not-for-profit ministry of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of Venice, Florida. Support us today at uucov.org.
In June of 2013, right around this time, a 33-year-old Nashville man had a court date in Tennessee. His crime was fatherhood. More specifically, the fact that he'd fathered a verified, there were a few more they couldn't verify, 22 children with 14 different women, and he couldn't pay child support for any of them. The man himself couldn't quite say how many children he had. He guessed at first that it was around 18 with 17 different women. He told a court reporter, "I love my kids." But he admitted a moment later he couldn't remember more than a few of their names. He told another court reporter, "My family legacy lives on. I wanted 50 kids, but I'm stopping now." Now, the last I heard about this poor man was earlier this year. His child support is currently over $7,000 a month. He is quite a bit in arrears at this point and is facing more jail time. It is not always easy to be a father. But if we flip and we look at Genghis Khan, the Mongol warlord who was born over 800 years ago, he fathered so many children. So many that today DNA evidence shows one out of every 200 men, one out of every 200 men on the planet today, and 0.5% of the world's population, not just one country, the world, are his direct descendants. That makes you think. He probably never met or even gave two thoughts to most of those children. Sometimes it's easy to be a father, but it always takes guts to be a dad. When I ask about mothers, I say, who loved you into being? But for dads, the question is a little different. The question is, who loved you so much that they became? Who loved you so much that they became a dad? So what's a dad as opposed to a father? It's not just the person who gave you half of your genetic material, even though he may have indeed fathered you. A dad is not just the guy who was in the house while you were growing up, though he may have lived with you. A dad's not your friend, though he may have been friendly. Becoming a dad is about making a choice. It's a choice to share not just a bloodline, but who you are. And sometimes they get it wrong, sometimes they get it right, but day after day and year after year, fathers who want to be dads make the choice and they keep trying. You know, the word father is in the dictionary somewhere between fathead and before fatigued. And for most dads, especially when you have teenagers in the house, I don't know how many of you had teenagers, but if you remember those years, for years that's how you feel. You reel between dumb and disastrously tired with occasional side trips into sheer lunacy. It's hard to be a dad when it seems like your children come from another planet, especially one with an entirely different vocabulary. Parents frequently make the mistake of thinking they speak the same language as their children. Now, we know how to do this when it's another country. My late husband was British. When he said biscuit, he meant what I would call a cookie. When I said biscuit, I was talking about a flaky southern delicacy that comes under gravy. It's worse when you're speaking to children. For anybody whose grandchildren have told them, that seems sus, and it's lit, fam. You have no idea what they just said. Admit it. I know I spend a lot of time going, what? Was that a sentence? Was that English? In the interest of improving parent and child communication and parent and grandchild communication, let me tell you what I've learned. Of course their parents will be home. Means their parents have moved to Outer Mongolia with Genghis Khan. The beer arrives at 9. I didn't do it. You have no proof. Ralphie is a liar. You're going to get a call from Ralphie's parents. Mom said it was okay. Yeah, Mom forgot her cell phone, and this kid's going out the window in about 3 seconds. Can I have a boa constrictor? They want a dog. I hate you. Means they're scared, and they don't know what to do. I think all parents can testify that their children or grandchildren speak a different metaphorical and literal language than they do. We recognize and honor today every man who stood up as his child screamed at him in anger or frustration, said things to him that didn't always understand. Every man who tried to understand his child's clothing choices, hairdos, hobbies. Every man who suddenly realized that his child might be right and was willing to listen. Every man who honestly believed he was making the best choices he could and telling his child about them as clearly as possible, only to be misunderstood time and time again. We honor those dads. We honor every man who screwed it up, got it wrong, tried again, got it right, and went from being the dumbest soul alive to the pinnacle of brilliance and back again in one day, according to his child. These are our dads. Pat McManus from Mean Tense and the Grasshopper Trap, all the stories we've heard over the last week or so. He grew up in Idaho, and his own father died when he was 6. He barely knew him. The family was destitute. He spent his time hiking and hunting and fishing, stopping only to marry Darlene, who he calls Bun. He had 3 daughters, and he dragged them with him through all the things he did, often disastrously. And when they interview him, it's hysterical. He said camping with small children required substantial interrogation techniques. We would set the tent up a mile from the nearest bathhouse. It would be time to go to bed. And the older girls would go to the bathhouse with Darlene, but the youngest would refuse, and I would sound like this. Is your name Aaron McManus? Do you have a dog named Fergus? Do you have to go potty right now? Are you sure? Are you lying? Are you sure you're sure? What about now? And of course, as soon as we get 5 people into a 4-person sleeping bag and tent, I'd feel a little hand tug at my pajama sleeve. And then I'd find out that my $75 deluxe flashlight was somewhere 9 miles back on the trail where she used it to break open her nuts. And yet he still took those little girls camping in real life over and over and over again, sharing himself and his experiences. And we honor and recognize today all those men who taught us what they knew the best way they could, and forgave us when we screwed it up over and over and over again, trying to learn. We honor those who wanted to teach us but left too soon or just didn't know how. We honor those who walked us to the bathroom in the dark and those who turned on the light and pointed us in the right direction and waited for us to come back. We honor those who let us break their binoculars and steal their shirts, and those who taught us why it was wrong to break and to steal. These are our dads. Now, I never met the man who actually fathered me. He was some 16-year-old white boy who met a very sweet 13-year-old Middle Eastern girl. And it was the 60s, and he never even knew he was going to have a baby. She got sent away, and by the time she came back, he had moved. My dad couldn't have kids. And so he and Mom signed up for a white male baby, and then there I was. I still remember when I was 10 or 11, we were out on the Ohio River, and he was an amazing water skier. He was in rare form that day. He was slaloming on one ski, riding the wake. And I watched as he did this amazing maneuver. It was an actual cartwheel on a ski. He came up on the other side, shot a thumbs up, and then gave the cut signal and sank down into the wake. I was overjoyed. He got in that boat. And it was at that point he reminded me, no, please, please don't clap. And he told the truth. I was hot dogging and didn't see the chunk of log that I hit, which caused him to flip and nearly kill himself. We recognize and honor all the men who taught us what it was to be honest, even when it was remarkably embarrassing, to tell the truth and admit to our faults, to be human. We recognize, too, those fathers who could not teach us these things because they didn't know it themselves, but who hoped and prayed that we would do better than they ever did. These are our dads. Now, my dad and I didn't always see eye to eye. I left home at 18, and 5 years later, we still weren't speaking very much. But one night, I got in more trouble than usual, and I was with someone whose ex-husband didn't like her very much and had a gun. And after we started to get out of my car at 10 p.m., the man pulled up waving that gun. We jumped back in the car, and we drove away like crazy. We were heading for my own farm out in the country and my own gun. But thankfully, before things got tragic, I came to my senses and I said, look, my parents' house is on the way. Even though we're not speaking, they're on the way and it's safer. We'll ditch the car there. So we pulled into their yard and we jumped out of the car and we jumped over the fence and we ran in through the back door and we ran up the steps. It's 10 o'clock at night and I haven't seen them for 5 years. I'll never forget my dad. We burst into the kitchen. He was sitting there in his underwear eating a snack. I said, hey, Dad, what's up? This is Carol. Put on pants and don't answer the front door. And there was a pause, and this is a very true story. My smart aleck mother yelled from the other room, there's a crazy man on the porch screaming and waving a gun. Is that Amy who just came in? And Dad shook his head slowly, and then he got me in a burn that has lasted for years. He said, oh dear, not again, sweetheart. How many times does this make? 5 years. And his smart aleck dad gene was right there. And my friend, of course, was horrified. She said, you've done this before? It took me years to make her understand he was that big of a smart aleck. He wandered off smirking to put on some pants and call the police. Today we recognize and honor all those men who've been there or tried to be no matter what. No matter what their child did, no matter how badly they behaved. Those who remained calm in a crisis and those that could not remain calm but didn't run away. We honor those who did run away but came back again. And those who never came back but always wished it could have been different. These are our dads. Rich and poor, tall or short, slender as a pole or round as a basketball, they're the people who helped to raise us, those who formed us through their actions and their lack of action. They're our dads, birth fathers and adopted fathers, stepfathers, foster dads, fathers who have no children themselves, but who step in to help raise the child of a neighbor or a friend, grandfathers, single moms who've had to learn to go beyond motherhood, they're our dads. And through love,